So anybody got an intro for this?
How the fuck could you intro this movie?
Oh no, we're in prison.
Let's go to the outro.
Let's go to sleep.
Let's go straight to hell.
Three scariest words in the English language. Trial by jury.
I'm just proud to be a part of the American judicial system.
Before my daddy died, he taught me one thing. See, the thumb goes away, comes back.
Juries are made up of 12 people who are so dumb they couldn't even think up an excuse to get out of jury duty.
We find a defendant, Nelson Biederman, guilty.
You mean guilty?
Oh, yeah. Well, it kind of looked like it was a cue.
Let's face it,
our justice system sucks. On this old rock. My name's John Leschitzky. If I had a nickel for every time I've been incarcerated, I'd have 15 cents. It all started when I was 8 years old. I stole the publisher's clearinghouse prize patrol van. Thought there'd be $1 million inside. Caught me when I tried to cash the giant check.
Guilty. Guilty. Guilty.
Trust me, it doesn't matter who you are or where you're from. The joint's a scary place. So you better make friends fast.
We should be cellmates. I'll even give you the top bunk.
Thanks.
Hey, John, welcome back.
Who's the new guy?
Nelson Biederman IV.
Hi.
Haven't you seen any prison movies?
From the studio that brought you Brokeback Mountain.
To be wooed. Would you like some Merlot?
I make it in the toilet.
Comes a penetrating look.
I ain't gonna lie to you.
At our penal system.
This here next part gonna feel like somebody pocket a Greyhound bustle.
It's on the menu today.
Come for dinner.
That's me. That ain't me.
And stay. For life. Because when it comes to random acts of violence...
I killed my old man.
You didn't kill him with kindness, did you?
With a hammer.
Like the Beatles song.
Sexy undergarments.
What's with the robe, John?
Well, if you want to keep getting the catalog, you gotta order something every now and again.
And indecent proposals.
$15 for a lap dance.
There's no place like prison.
People are betting on when I'm gonna be killed?
That's awesome! Hey, how much does brain damage pay?
Let's go to prison.
I mean, I didn't know I was going to be watching a love story.
Oh, right. Oh, man, there's so much to get into. Guys, okay, welcome to Recon Theater. Follow us on the stuff. You know what? There is, because this movie has a lot of people in it. This movie has a lot of potential. This movie has a lot of... Dude, I don't know. Like, I watched the opening credits. I'm like, was this written and directed by Bob Odenkirk, or was it just written?
It was directed by him.
Directed.
Oh, my God. So it was directed by Bob Odenkirk. So I was like...
Does anybody do their research before we start rolling? It was written by the Reno 911 guys, man.
So Bob Odenkirk directed it, but he didn't write it?
Correct.
Yeah. Okay.
Lieutenant Dangle and Junior fucking wrote it.
I don't think this is a badly made movie. I think with a good script, this could have been pretty good.
It's a very poorly written movie.
It thinks it's funny and it's not.
Yeah.
It has a lot of potential to be funny, and it has a lot of times where they're like, insert joke we're going to repeat three times in the movie here.
Who was
Jacob Freeze on your end?
Yeah, I guess so. Who was this target audience here? That was my question the entire time I was watching it. Like, who puts this on? I was like, yeah, this is a good time.
16-year-olds, maybe? I don't even know if they'd have too much fun with it, but that's the only thing I can think of.
I don't think it's really for them.
Jacob's still completely frozen.
Oh, yeah.
I had a really hard time trying to figure out, like, what age range, if ever, I would ever think this movie was funny. Because it just didn't hit any notes. Like, at all.
I'm thinking it was aimed for in the 20 to 25-year-old, just start smoking weed a lot. And getting into...
A lot. Like, a lot, a lot.
I don't know. Just got out of religion. I don't think it helped.
Getting into, like, more edgy comedy. But, yeah, I could see... This came out in, like, 2006.
Yeah, 2006.
I mean, it was a long time ago.
Did anybody know about this?
I used to see it.
I've seen it.
I saw it at Hastings, but I never saw it like in a movie theater. Never heard about it. It just looked like it was dumped direct to video DVD at Hastings, and I would see the cover and I'd be like, this looks like it should be good, but if it was good, why wasn't it in theaters? So I was like, why haven't I heard anything about it? I tried to
take a screenshot of it, but Voodoo's got some kind of protection on it, so you can't screenshot it with your phone. Yeah. But the scene where they, when they're going back to prison and they're pulling up in the prison bus, Tina's cousin is driving that bus. That's the prison that he works at in Joliet, Illinois.
And, no way.
And
we're Leatherface? Like,
that's it. That's it.
your wife's cousin is in this movie.
You can barely... like tell there's even a person driving that bus when it pulls up.
You see like his arm or some shit?
No, like I can faintly see like his face. I know what he looks like, so I can see it through the window a little bit, but it's just like the last ass hair of that scene. You just barely get a shot of it, then it's off to something else. So I saw it because of that. Oh, Mike's in this movie. And I was just like, where's he at? I never did see him. I figured he'd be a guard or some shit. No, he's driving a bus.
Hell yeah. I remember the trailer only because the only reason that I know this is because when he said, you want some wine, and then he held it out, I knew he was going to say, I'm making the toilet. And that was a trailer moment. That's how bad this movie is. That was a trailer moment. And that's
so the movie's a trailer moment.
I wish like the Wayans brothers would have made this movie. Like I feel like this was Bob Odenkirk and the Reno 911 guys trying to make a black comedy movie from the late 90s, early 2000s. And I feel like if this was put in the hands of the right comedy minds, all the black dudes are the funnier guys in this movie.
Yeah.
The fucking lunch guy with the point after the condom thing, that was funny.
Yes.
When he said something about when he smokes the weed all the way to the end, he's like, you think there's anything more to life? And that one guy's like, I got some coke. The look on his face, that part's funny. The Chai, whatever his stupid name is.
McBride.
He had some funny moments. Like
he's got presence.
He ate it up too. Like he played this gay man, like this big black gay man, perfectly. Like the interracial coupling between him and Will Arnett was very. It probably opened some doors in 2006. You know,
dude. I mean, if I was going to run into a situation like that in prison, I would prefer it to be Chai McBride and him to be like that.
Well, don't call him Chai, or he'll. Probably rape you.
What are you gonna call him?
Chi.
Daddy. Is it Chi?
Is it Chi or Chi. Is it Chai?
It's Chi McBride.
Yeah,
I figured it was. Everybody else said Chai. I just followed along.
Well, that's what they used to call him on like fucking. I remember that's what I remember how they would say his name on like the Tonight Show and shit when he was in Chicago Hope or whatever he was in. And then he was in something in the 90s, some drama in the 90s that.
Was it
Boston Public?
Was it Boston Public?
Could have been.
It was sure. a Dick Wolf movie.
You're just making Dick Wolf production, maybe? Sure, yeah.
I remember him in Undercover Brother, and I think he was in Pushing Daisies.
It was Boston Public, and yes, he's in Pushing Daisies.
Wow, and he's in Waiting. That's where I know him from.
And Gone in 60 Seconds, fuck yeah.
He's great in Waiting. He's like a guru type of guy. And that girl that's the mean one, like, has that great moment where, like, she acts like she's listening to his advice, and then she's like,
"Oh yeah, the cook?"
Yeah, yeah. No, he's a dishwasher.
Yeah,
and that's when she's like, "You really gonna help me?" And he's like, "Yeah." And she's like, "Well, what I'd really like you to do is wash the fucking dishes, asshole." And she's like throwing shit at him. And shut the fuck up. Ashley says she worked at Hastings and that this movie was $2.99, and that's why she knew that it was not worth picking up, because why would it be $2.99?
So did you pay for it tonight?
Don't ask.
This is a discount bin movie.
Everybody just used the free bin worthy.
Discount bin worthy for sure. It actually, when was this? 2006, you say? Was My Name Is Earl a thing by that point? Because
wasn't that over by then?
The first 10 minutes of this movie really remind me of My Name. Give me My Name Is Earl.
Yeah, 2005 to 2009.
Okay.
It was right at the start.
Yeah. So that makes sense, because, like, it really has. At first, like, I was like, oh, that's where we're going with this. But then it just kind of stops all that, because, like, all this stuff with him as a little kid and him getting into trouble and stuff, that was mildly amusing.
The 18-year-old didn't look anything like Dax.
Like, no, he didn't.
But they used Dax's voice, didn't they?
I don't know.
He was overdubbed over that kid.
Oh, shit. Well, like, that's funny. I usually don't have a problem, because it's usually, like, you know, 3 or 4 year old, and then they show them as an adult. And then when they're 18, you just try your best to make the actor look younger, right? In this one, they just used a different guy who looks nothing like Dax Shepard. It's like, I don't know. The opening credit with the stupid country song, like,
was David Koechner the singer of that song?
Yes. Because
it sounded like. I thought so.
There used to be a show. I don't know if they had a comedy routine before this or not, but there was a show on Comedy Central called T-Bone and the Naked Trucker, I think was the name of it. And
that David Koechner, right? Was on.
Yeah,
that?
David Koechner, and I can't remember what the old guy's name was.
The balding guy. The Naked Trucker. Yeah.
He, I think they're in Wet Hot American Summer, but I remember when that show came on, I loved the shit out of it. Like, David Koechner's a funny motherfucker. Paint sticking. There was he would irritate the Naked Trucker by singing this paint sticking song, and he'd have a paint mixing stick and just be tapping it on the dash, fucking just singing it out and shit. But that's what that song was from, was their little comedy duo singing thing.
Have you guys seen – okay, wait. First off, I can't – concentrate on anything you guys are saying, because once I find out I'm wrong, I don't. How many people are listening right now? It's not Chi McBride. I don't know where the fuck I got that. It's Shy, like Shy Town,
like Chicago.
Chicago.
But no, Ben, I'm with you on this. I know somebody called him Chi McBride, because that is
what it's been in my head forever.
right, same.
What? Jesus Christ, you guys went hard on that one. Jacob, go.
When you're talking about, like, chi as in energy, like chi energy, it's either pronounced chi or it's actually ki.
Yuck. Dusty, go.
That's what I was saying. I default to ki when I see that spelling because of D&D. Oh, my
key. I the only reason I thought it was chai is because it spells. It spells. It rhymes. That's the only reason I thought it was chai
McBride. Yeah. That sounds very Hollywoody.
Has anybody here watched MTV's The State? It was on streaming a while back.
Long time ago.
Yeah.
That was one of those shows where I'm like, I know this, some, like, these guys get this, but I don't get it.
Wow. Okay. Well,
my kids in the hall.
Like a lot of stuff that was kind of like alt comedy out of the 90s, you know, it's hit and miss, but like those two and Mr. Show, like I can see, because Mr. Show was Bob Odenkirk and David Cross, and then The State was basically like half the people that run like Reno 911 were.
Yeah, with Michael Ian Black and Michael Showalter. Yeah.
Michael Showalter. You have
Stella.
Thomas Lennon. You've got Ben Grant.
There's some guys on this shit.
Yeah, it was a very talented group of young guys, who kind of like the whitest kids you know of the time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they had hit and miss, but their hits were pretty incisive and funny and different.
This is a miss, though.
Oh, well, Joe Truglio was in it.
Yeah, they and a lot of those guys did Wet Hot American Summer. And I don't know if any of you guys have seen that.
Love it.
With going in with this, like, this isn't really good, but I will say that, like, I went into this sort of like an Idiocracy experience, because when Idiocracy first came out, I don't know if a lot of people know this, but, like, speaking of Dax Shepard, it's going to be a Dax Shepard triangle here, because we did Dax Shepard 2 weeks ago with Without a Paddle, speaking of comedies that were coming out around that same time. But with Idiocracy, Rolling Stone, it was the first time I'd ever seen Rolling Stone gave it a 0-star rating. Oh, and I was like, my God. I was like, Jesus Christ. Like, this movie's got to be terrible.
Have they even seen Firewalker?
And yeah, I was just like, holy fuck, Idiocracy is going to be awful. And so I went into it just being like, I'm just going to watch it for the train wreck that it is. And then I found myself kind of enjoying it. I mean, like,
it's pretty good.
Actually, that's not bad. Actually, as time has gone by, it's one of my favorites, actually. I think it's a really easily rewatchable and fun movie, and unfortunately very telling. It was very prescient of what of our times. But with this one, I feel like I can see bits and pieces of like the things that I like about those others coming in and out, but it's just, I think it's a bad idea for a movie. I think it was probably, most of you guys know how movies get made. A lot of times, like, you have a good idea and then it gets fucking, the only way it's going to get made and paid for is if you do this, change this, do this, 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 this.
Lots of concessions.
You gotta try to make that work. And that's why most movies aren't really that good. the law of averages, how many movies actually get made per year versus how many of those you would say were like well done and well made, without any studio interference. So yeah, not bad, but like Idiocracy, with the low expectations, I found myself not completely I didn't hate the time I spent with this movie. It went by at a pace that didn't make me feel like, but by the time it was over, in a way, I was like, that felt like it wrapped up kind of quick. It did have like a non-ending. Yeah. The goatee that came in and out, I don't know if like, I feel like this movie was like, they filmed it, Bob Odenkirk was probably like, this is going to be a pile of garbage. We're not even going to release it. And then they're like, nah, we're going to release it. Just cut it together as best you can. They probably did not film enough to be like, we don't know how to tie this in together into like a good movie. And they're like, well, just we'll stitch it together and drop it on DVD.
Yeah, 90 minutes.
On the things, 90 minutes. And it'll have names in it, you know, at that point. Like comedy names, Will Arnett, Dax Shepard. Those are sort of names of 2006.
It will probably feature Ya Kid K.
But there are moments that I like. I can see the humor of Bob Odenkirk's humor, and I can see some of like Thomas Lennon and Robert Ben Grant's humor come in at times when it does work for me. You know, those other two, the former two, are really good improvisers, not necessarily great script writers. You know, they wrote like the Night at the Museum movies too. They've written a lot of Hollywood kind of garbage. I don't want to say garbage, but mediocre stuff. They're okay, Ryan.
Night at the Museum.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's what they had a hit, and they've been writing movies that you wouldn't expect that they've written before. And for me, for my taste, they're like, okay. They're competent enough, I guess, but they're nothing special. They're very funny improv guys. I don't know if they're necessarily great script writers, and I'm pretty sure they weren't necessarily great script writers when they hatched this out in like 2004 or 5 or whenever this was actually.
Yeah.
This feels like one of those movies that they set on in the can. They filmed it with a bunch of what they thought was going to be good talent, but before they made it. And then they were like, oh, these people have made it. Let's put this direct to video because it's a quick cash grab. That's what it felt like when I was watching it.
Are we sure this didn't go out? It come out in theaters?
I don't know. I just don't remember it.
Make it. If it doesn't make it to Fort Smith theaters, I don't call it a fully released movie. You know what I mean? If it doesn't make it to the middle.
If it doesn't hit those target cities.
Who put the movie out? What studio put the Universal. Movie out?
It was Universal.
Oh, yeah, it was.
Man, probably something they bought up in like a, you know, like a mess of scripts or something like that. And just here.
Hey, should we talk about interested. Oh, go ahead. Sorry, I didn't know you were.
But that's what I'd be interested in finding out is how much the studio had over this movie and kind of like where it came from, because they have a book, Thomas Lennon and Ben do, about, I think it's called like How to Get a Script Turned Down in Hollywood or something like that. Cause they've wrote a jillion different scripts for movies. One of the Herbie the Love Bug movies was one of theirs. Yeah. I think is what it was.
The Lohan one.
Fully loaded. Yeah, they, yeah, I think so. And they like it always seems like the studio buys it and then just kind of pencil whoops whatever they want to do with it. So like their name's on it, but whatever you get's probably not what they had. So that's how you could always, I'd always explain away a lot of their stuff. Cause I love Reno 911. Like that's sort of the funniest shit I think I've ever seen.
And is watching it like so, right now. Since we got it on HBO.
Oh, me too. Since it's come out on shit, I've been watching the shit out of it. But like this movie, I mean, they wrote it and Bob Odenkirk directed it. How much sway could anybody else have over this movie? So like, what's the, maybe they're not that great sometimes.
At the time, maybe a lot. A, B, Bob Odenkirk, maybe I don't think
he was that big at this point.
Well, yeah, and I don't think he's maybe necessarily a great director. I love him as an actor, and I like him as a writer, and he knows how to pick talents. You know, he's the one who gave Tim and Eric their leg up into adulthood.
Their 5-second cameo in this movie?
Yeah, in this movie.
5-second cameo at the end, yeah. Bob Odenkirk's a national treasure to me. Saul Goodman, still going strong. I need to watch Mr. Show.
Mr. Show introduced me to so many comedians that I still would listen to anything they put out.
Dude, it completely changed my like comedic outlook. Like whenever I first got a hold of those DVDs from Hastings back in the 2000s, I was like, finally, things that I missed because I lived in Boonville and we didn't have HBO, I can now actually start watching.
Yeah.
So Wiki says that the studio made significant alterations during the film's editing process that made Odenkirk unhappy with the final result.
There you go.
According to writers Tom Lennon and Robert Ben-Gurant's appearance on the Nerdist podcast from August 23rd, 2011, changes included a happier ending, the removal of a sparse drums-only score recorded by Meg White of the White Stripes, and other alterations that made a significant change to the overall tone of the film. I will say...
Oh, that would have been cool, drums-only soundtrack from Meg White.
I will say...
Sounds like Punch Drunk Love.
I will say... I do love these guys. I generally trust these guys. Even if the studios touched this movie a lot, most of these jokes are just really bad, man. There's so many shit jokes in this movie. It's all poop jokes and like
rape
jokes and like it was. I was disappointed that there weren't more laughing moments of this. Yeah. Of this,
there weren't enough clever. There were bits and pieces here and there, it was also what we said. It came out in 2006.
Yeah,
we talked about this with Without a Paddle too. This was like the dying age of the sophomoric poop joke comedies.
The National Lampoon direct to video.
Well, ones. It was like, yeah,
sort of
like
the American Pie type gross out, the Farrelly Brothers, the gross out comedies of the 90s. It kind of finally had their reign. And this was near the end of it when they were transitioning into, like, when we were talking about when the Hangover films start coming. It's the more Apatow dominated scene of comedy movies. And I think that's probably what influenced it, was the zeitgeist of probably being at the nadir of all the poop jokes in movies at the time. And trying to
I'd like to say the pencil joke just sums it up, you know, where he's like, thanks for this pencil, you know, and he's like, I got it out of the toilet.
Yeah, why that, that's
who laughs at that?
Who licks a pencil, number one? Who does that? Like, he was licking the pencil with everything he wrote.
Because he's very, listen, I'm going to have to be the lawyer for this movie. I'll be the devil's advocate.
Hey, no, listen to me, Ben. Listen here, Ben. I'm going to be with you on most of this because I also had a decent time with this movie.
It's because Will Arnett is just so very kind of prissy. I think that's the point. Yeah. He's not necessarily realistic. He's a very, like, he definitely does not belong. That, you know, I know it's supposed to enhance the comedy and it's just a kind of a tired cliche, but he definitely does not belong in prison. You know what I mean? Like,
he was high society. He was reading, he was sitting in his cell reading like the Atlantic magazine.
Yeah.
Like he's from richer stock than the rest of us.
Well, even the scene in the bathroom when he and Chai make up, and they're like having their moment, and the guy's in the stall, and he's like, walk to him, like that part, walk what? To him, or go to him, or whatever he says. That part was the funniest part of that scene, and then he farts. And then he farts, guys.
The whole prison rape stuff, I was like, as soon as it was introduced, I'm like, I'm over this. I'm more interested in the dynamic between Will Arnett and Dax Shepard than I am the cliche.
Yeah, that's the thing. Not even on. It is offensive, but not even because it's not like we're like, oh, you can't touch that subject or whatever. It just wasn't funny, and it was like
just tired. It's like that's not what I. But at the same time, it's a weird movie. You know what this movie also kind of reminded me of is has anybody here seen I Love You, Philip Morris?
No, that was another. That was one I skipped because it looked kind of like this.
I saw it, but
I'm like, what is this movie?
That's a really good movie, and you guys could probably recommend that without you guys hating it. But this movie reminds me of that in that it's a prison movie, but man, the story is not at all what I was expecting the story to be about. It's a weird story. We haven't even explained the story for people who are listening who haven't watched this fucking thing.
That's true.
There's been people who have been on here for like a half hour going like, well, what the fuck is this movie about?
And see, that's what always happens because everybody's like, I don't know what we're going to be able to talk about.
It's about going to prison.
Yeah.
There you go. You just grabbed the whole movie right there.
What's the specific reason why he's going to prison?
Okay, no, so
Jacob, is there somebody in the room with you, Jacob, I could get to slap you real quick?
Yeah, I was talking about you.
So Dax Shepard is a shithead 2-bit criminal. He's always been a shithead 2-bit criminal.
The first time he was arrested.
No, he stole the publisher's clearinghouse van.
He stole a check. He was a delinquent. Yeah.
Not innocent.
Catch the giant check.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did it every one time. He shot at two men, and the judge just called him a moron.
That was after he'd already been in the system. That was the point.
He got 4 years for being a moron.
Okay, so Dax Shepard is a delinquent criminal idiot in this movie who blames every bit of his problems on the judge that sentenced him multiple times for the dumb shit he does. And he gets out of prison after, you know, like he's in his 30s, obviously. And
I don't know if he's in his 30s, but
first when he gets out, maybe 20s, early 30s.
Dax was like 27 when they made this movie, I think, or 26.
Oh, okay.
So he was playing 20.
Yeah.
Anyway, it doesn't matter how old he is. He's older. And he
old enough to know better.
Well, yeah, there was a huge gap in his appearance between 18 and 27.
Yeah, he looks like a completely
so he wants person. To kill the judge when he gets out of jail, and he finds out that the judge actually died, and he can't kill him. And
plot twist.
Then he feels
like 3 days before he decided to kill him.
Yeah.
Right. Then he feels like his life has no meaning after that until he discovers the judge's son, who is a local or I guess he helps run his dad's company or something like that. He's rich.
He's a Tommy boy. It's fine.
Played by Will Arnett. And played well by Will Arnett. I enjoyed Will Arnett in this movie. I like a lot of the characters in this movie. I just like we've repeated, like the jokes just aren't funny. Like
Michael Shannon was funny.
Yeah, everyone's kind of funny. And
yeah.
Everyone has at least a few funny moments with some of their lines, but the overall, yeah. Like the majority of the jokes are just not funny. And so, and who knows how it's all cut to shit, because the story honestly makes not a lot of sense the way this is edited.
Well, let's finish the plot and then, cause yeah,
okay,
I agree.
So Dax Shepard, then decides he's going to ruin the judge's son's life. And he ends up getting the judge's son arrested. And then he ends up getting arrested himself on purpose so he can be his cellmate and torture him. But then the son kind of starts flourishing in prison. Will Arnett's kind of starts flourishing in prison. And it makes Dax Shepard angry. And then they escape together. The end.
And he falls in love.
Wait, Jacob, how do they escape together? How do they escape together, Jacob?
They escape together by faking their own deaths and, like, basically a serpent and the rainbow. And, oh, my God. There's a cat battle happening in my living room right now. There's three cats, and they're all going at it.
So they literally go all the way to getting buried. And then they get dug up. So we see Chai. What's his name in this movie?
Barry.
We see Barry bribe the doctor.
That's how they
tie up this whole loose end. The two alive men went through the whole fucking dying process and getting buried and dug up because they gave the doctor a few dollars, right?
That has to be the reshot ending.
That it is. And that's the same doctor who declared them dead, both of them, on the on the prison yard after they had supposedly killed each other.
Yeah. Yeah, it wasn't the worst ending that could have happened.
I mean, not really an ending. It didn't feel like they ran out of film. And immediately it just goes to, like, the credits start rolling over additional footage.
Right.
Well, first
that's additional. That was them just leaving. They got dug up, and then they're going on to their new life.
I mean, is it footage that wasn't shown in the movie now being shown on the credits?
No, I mean, because they had never been in a truck altogether before that. Like, so...
Did you guys see the bullshit wine scene? Was that in the version that you guys watched?
The what?
Did you watch the same version? Oh. They own a winery.
Yeah, the wine. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
This movie was too short, and they added a little scene to the end. You didn't
it's a happy
need
ending.
That they now own a fucking prison wine company. Like that's totally because it says in the thing that they added a new ending to be happier. Like, I wonder I want to know what the old ending was.
That it was just them dying and then like just a dark
maybe.
And that's the thing. Maybe. I was disappointed with them both killing each other for whatever reason. But then I was even more disappointed with what we got after that. Like, the thing about who do we root for in this movie? Who's the protagonist in this movie?
See, that's the thing.
Yeah, I think there is none. I think that's kind of that's what I like about it, and it's what's also really to its own detriment and is not.
I guess if they would have written the characters better, because like there's characters like you don't root for the Joker, but you like he's glad you're playing him. You know what I mean? Maybe if they would have written because like you guys said, like the performances are fine. Like Michael Shannon was great in this movie. Shy fucking yes. and knocks the character that they wrote for him out of the park. Will Arnett, perfect for his character. Bob Odenkirk is Bob Odenkirk. Everybody was great, but the writing, like, how did Thomas Lennon have anything to do with those jokes? You know what I mean?
What was that repeated joke that they kept doing? Because I literally, it was so bad I can't even remember it, but it was one of those
spread open their butt cheeks.
No, that wasn't.
The warden was a good actor too.
Yep. Oh yeah,
that guy was perfect.
I feel like the warden was probably featured a lot more in a different cut of this movie.
I would have liked that too.
Yeah, me too. Take out like 75-80% of the Shy McBride rape relationship. Yeah. And put the warden interacting with them, because he rarely, if ever, does. We see him once at the beginning and like once at the end of the movie.
I was so bummed when Michael Shannon died too, because I'm like, every time he was in a scene, I was like, hey, it's Michael Shannon again. At least, you know, because I fucking.
So when Michael Shannon died, I did write down, because there were like, that was my favorite joke of this movie was after Michael Shannon got stuck with the thing, after he goes. Oh,
I didn't get the reference.
Or no, when Michael Shannon injects himself with the stuff, and he goes, "Don't throw me into the briar patch." And he goes, and then he goes, "If you weren't such a white supremacist asshole, you'd have read up on your Uncle Remus," which is in itself a sort of a racist caricature.
Is that the Song of the South? Oh,
yes.
Yeah, Song of the South.
Okay. That's what I thought. You
know, Brer Rabbit.
Brer Rabbit, okay.
So
okay.
In and of it, it's funny that he was telling a white supremacist, if you weren't being such a white supremacist, you'd have read up on your Uncle Remus, as though that were the more culturally broadened approach to things. So I thought that was a really good, well-written joke.
Yeah. And the Yoko Ono sculpture, the pretentious ass Yoko Ono sculpture was funny. I was cool with that.
Original, like, Yoko Ono.
Yeah.
And dude, not Yoko Ono, but I, like, as a news person, I go to stupid stuff like that, where a city that can't pay like the police pension that year is having like a celebration for like $1 million statue that everybody can look at.
You guys just got a Bill Clinton statue on his playing the saxophone?
Really?
No, I'm just kidding. That'd be funny though. Oh, man. With like his little cat Socks. Wasn't his cat named Socks?
Dude, I always thought it was so weird, because I used to watch
a Nintendo game about that cat.
Yeah, Socks the cat had its own Super Nintendo game. That's right. And I used to watch Arsenio Hall every night, and Bill Clinton just every once in a while would be in the Arsenio Hall band playing saxophone, not as a guest on the show, just chilling playing saxophone. The President of the United States.
I thought that was before he was president.
It was when he was campaigning.
Because that's what like won him. Like,
It all runs together.
That's how he got his black vote. Yeah.
It's like when that dictator in Chechnya throws gay people off of buildings, holds an MMA show, and he's like, "I'm fucking awesome, right?" Like, that's basically the same thing.
I don't know nothing about that.
Tries to gain world sympathy by talking about his lost cat.
Yeah. What was the hick doing the thumb trick? Oh, it was the jury. That was stupid.
Yeah.
That was a bad one.
The they're not wrong though. Juries suck.
And see, that's when it was still a kind of My Name is Earl vibe. The beginning of this movie kind of promises a style that doesn't happen in the rest of the movie.
They didn't stay caricature-y enough with a lot of the characters, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Like, they got to decide, are you making a serious movie, and a more serious comedy? In which case, like, give us some more violence, give us some more, like, shock moments or something like that. Or are you going to make a goofy movie and give us more wacky characters and stuff like that, where all the characters, like the main characters, were cool, but the side characters were boring. I mean, there was just like the lunch guy who points, and then the big Latino guy that punches him a bunch of times, and then like,
yeah,
there's no real, like, that's why I say like the Wayans brothers or somebody should have wrote this movie, because everything would have been a joke.
And you know, you can't blame it on the length, really, because like Ernest Goes to Jail is 90 minutes long, and I feel like all of those characters are pretty fleshed out, and I even the prisoners that are in prison with Ernest, you feel like you know each character kind of.
I feel like Ernest Goes to Jail is funnier than this movie, I think.
Yeah, it's a way better prison movie. Did anybody laugh at the table read is my question. Like, did they sit around and they, because, you know,
I know all these brilliant comedy minds.
Right. Were they laughing at these jokes and be like, ah, like
that? You, what, you mean there's a condom in my beans?
Tell them about the open butthole.
Yeah. Well, listen, like, he says like the condom in the beans. The condom in the beans wasn't, you know, like that was gross, but it was the look on the dude's face when he pointed at him that sold that joke. That's what was funny.
The point was good. Well, what about when? Oh, yeah. So I'm in the jail cell and I make a really mean face and it's like super lame because I'm.
Do you have to take a crap? That was the joke. That was the one. Yes, they tried to sell this joke where Will Arnett, he's always, you know, he looks scared and he's crying, and Dax Shepard says, "You got to toughen up. You got to give him the mean look." And Will Arnett gets this. I even wondered that while watching it. I was like, did they kind of like get this mean look together? And they're like, oh, that's definitely the one.
That's the one, it's just, yeah.
It's the worst look that Will Arnett, he's doing this really dumb look. And it's supposed to be dumb, but everybody that sees it in the movie, their line is, you look like you have to take a crap. Like, that's funny. Like, it wasn't even funny the first time. And they do it 3 or 4 times. And...
Think of Eddie Griffin doing the crazy eyes. He did it right. That's the mean face joke. You remember that movie? That movie? What was it with the new guy? The guy from the new guy goes to prison with Eddie Griffin.
Oh God, was it the new guy?
Does he go to prison in the new guy? Hey, I just know he doesn't. He's not. He doesn't go to prison in the new guy.
What movie is DJ Qualls?
What's that guy's name?
DJ Qualls.
It is the new guy. It is the new guy.
He goes to prison in the new guy?
He goes to prison and Eddie Griffin's there, yes.
I forgot about that movie.
Well, that's when he like makes the eye look. Like, I'm not going to... I kind of did
it. Forrest Whitaker eyes? Is it the...
It's just like crazy eyes he gives like out of the side of his face. Like, it's just a way better mean face. Like, DJ Qualls is a better physical comedian than...
Are you talking about Eddie Griffin's, like, where he... What turns one eye in and he's just like, get off of me, man. He starts kind of doing that kind of shit.
Yeah.
I know what you're talking about.
It's way better than the Will Arnett crazy face. And Will Arnett's like, they had to have workshopped that or at least shot it 10 times. What were the 9 that you said no to?
Well, and just the idea of, you know, a guy that's been to prison a million times in a cell with a guy who never thought in a million years he would go to prison. Like that's actually a really heavy, you know, like that's a heavy thing to think about. That's a heavy thing to, you put yourself into, that's scary. And if you're going to be a comedy, you really need to lighten the tone like Ernest Goes to Jail did and not make it seem heavy unless you're going to be like this movie and be like, okay, well it is heavy. Maybe we're going to deal with some of the heavy things. Maybe Will Arnett's going to have a, you know, watch a dude get stabbed right in front of him. And you know, like, Dax Shepard is totally, you know, I mean, just stuff like that, you know, and it just rides that tone. It has jokes that aren't funny enough to bring you out of it. So it's almost like this is like a prison drama movie that, you know, really has no point. But it just seems like one episode of a prison drama show, maybe, that's got a few dumb jokes in it.
They should show this movie to prisoners. I want to see like a podcast of a bunch of prisoners sitting around watching this movie and what they got to say about it.
Be like, look how boring prison is, because that's what it seems like here. Prison's boring and there's nothing to do except for, you know, try to hook up with people and
it's just constant butt pleasures in prison, according to this movie. Like the three stadiums. Three stadiums of rape.
Yeah.
Right. And
When the guy gets
this movie's not really too far off from real prison. That is like
sure.
Things boredom.
I watched Oz.
Locked up.
Yeah, like when you're in prison, all you got to do is just say what prison you want to go to, and they'll send you to it.
Well, I liked how Dax Shepard kind of had like clout with all the guards and everything because he'd been there so much. And, you know, everybody know who he was. You know, he's just a friend of everybody. I like that scene where he comes out and he's like, no glasses. You got contacts. He's like, yep. And like that established like a character with Dax Shepard where I was like, oh, I'm going to like this guy. Like, but you really don't like this guy because like
he's kind of the villain, actually.
Well, I mean, yeah, he does deplorable shit. But at the end, I think you're supposed to like him because he kind of flipped around and became a good guy a little bit.
Really,
but
you real know quick, he's just, only because they shoehorned that scene where they made a deal with each other. Because if that hadn't happened, yeah. I mean, the last you saw of him, he was ready to kill Will Arnett.
Yeah, yeah. That's true. That's true.
The guy gets stabbed in the cafeteria. Sorry, Jacob.
You're cool.
When the guy gets stabbed in the cafeteria and he tells on Michael Shannon. Yeah. So the guy gets stabbed in the chest. There are two guards right there.
Yeah.
Like they are there before the guy hits the table. And the guards are like, who could have done this? And he's like, that guy. And Michael Shannon's like, you're the reason I'm in trouble.
Yeah, but we also saw that the guards are real pieces of shit in this, and then, you know, maybe that would have went a certain way, you know, maybe they were trying to pin it on somebody else even, and the guards were in on it, but then, you know, dude pointed out Michael Shannon, and everybody's like,
I understand the gymnastics, but if the guards were in on it, they don't ask fucking Will Arnett who did this. They go, that guy did this.
Why am I trying to do gymnastics?
Like, you're trying to make sense of a really bad movie, and it cannot be done.
Yeah, yeah.
What's that girl who landed? The Simpsons, that's better. The Simpsons joke of the Korean gymnast who landed on a broken leg. Have you guys seen that?
No.
And it just has him flipping a bunch of times, and he lands, and he just screams at the top of his lungs. I'm like,
oh, yeah, I do remember
it's
that.
It's fucking one of the funniest, like 6 second bits in the Simpsons history.
Did any of you watch Promising Young Woman, that new movie?
No. I didn't get a chance to during the time. Was it good?
Yeah, it's pretty good. And I wish you guys could have watched it, and I don't want to give it away or anything like that. But I'll just say, like, that movie does kind of what I think this movie was going for at the end and doesn't pull the punch, and you're just like, oh. And that's all I'll say. But,
right, so I'm looking at the plot right now, and I've seen the word rape twice, and I'm not even, like, reading. Like, I'm just, like, my eyes are unfocused.
It's a real issue.
That's why Jacob liked it.
Jesus Christ. Anyway. I really thought the scene, maybe it was the delivery. But like when when Dax Shepard is protecting Will Arnett in the shower from Chai McBride at, you know, near the beginning,
yeah,
and he slaps his ass and keeps his hand on his ass, and then Will Arnett goes, you know, like, hey, I appreciate the favor, but did you have to put your finger in my ass? And I was so expecting them to put the, you know, the pulling it out sound effect.
Fuck, I'm glad they did.
In there. I was so expecting it, and they didn't do it. And I was like, what kind of a movie is this? Because that's what I'm saying. Like, any comedy, like, to get it, to elevate it to the level.
Wait, Jacob.
Any Adam Sandler comedy
would have a popping sound while the thumb comes out the end.
Yeah,
but he was disappointed that like wasn't movie, there.
It's not like this movie is above that, and
yeah,
for
true.
Them to not put it in there adds to the seriousness of the film. I think it would have added a lightness to that joke that just wasn't there. It wasn't funny.
Yeah.
It, like he said it, and I was like, that should be funny, but it's not. But the popping sound would have made it work.
And then when Michael Shannon killed himself, it should have went wah wah.
I mean, you need that level of like parody style hijinks, I think, that level of camp if you're going to make a movie like this.
Why did the farts not work for you then?
And that, dude, I'm telling you, that's true. The farts didn't even work for me in this movie. Like, I giggled at them. I giggled at farts.
I believe those farts were added by the studio.
In post.
Because they're super fucking out of place. and very badly ADR'd into the scene. Like, it's fucking, I think they were added later.
I believe
this is rated R, right?
Yeah, it's rated R.
Why?
Because it says like, fuck a bunch.
And butthole jokes at that time, especially.
Does anybody here, do you guys remember what charge Will Arnett got to go to the prison?
No.
It was like assault. It was assault in that convenience store, right?
So it was felony assault. Because
they thought he had a gun.
Because he trashed the pharmacy.
Tiny gun.
Yeah. That scene was pretty funny. I mean, like, that... Him going through, you know, that level of insanity for, you know, to find an inhaler is pretty funny.
I didn't like it because he was so obviously intentionally knocking everything off the shelves. Like, he wasn't even looking for anything. He was just intentionally knocking everything off the shelves. And for some reason, you get four years in prison for knocking shit off a shelf and getting a shotgun shot at you.
I do like that. Well, they thought he shot because, like, I like that Dax Shepard stuck his gun out the window and shot, you know, to make the people in the store think that it was, you know, they got shot at, so they'd shoot.
Shooting a gun is not felony assault.
The Asian store owner stereotype has been done to death.
Yeah, and they're so dumb they think an inhaler is a gun.
Yeah, they did think an inhaler was a gun. I don't know, man. It. Like I said, I was giving it, man, I gave it a chance the whole movie. And like Ben said, when it ended, I was like, oh, that's it. Huh? I felt like I wanted more movie. I did want more movie.
I was more movie.
You got enough movie.
Did you think, were you sitting there going, okay, this thing's about to really get its legs? the winery angle.
I felt like it was about to end. I just wish that, you know, it didn't wrap up so suddenly. You know, like it's like Airborne. It's just like, oh man, this whole movie, I get to see this relationship budding, this friendship between two cousins budding, this rivalry between these bullies, and we become friends. And then there's this big race that we got to fucking do. And what's that going to be like? And then the dude wins the race that just came up at the end of the movie. And after he wins the race, the credits roll. And you have no wrap up with any of the characters or anything like that. It's so fucking weird. It's just like, Oh, well.
They won. They won. Happily ever after.
Question. Like they won what, you know?
they won the love of the town.
What's your question?
What happened to Will Arnett's forehead tattoo?
It was Sharpie. He washed it off in the shower. It showed him.
Yeah, it was just a Sharpie.
Oh, okay, I must have missed that. Okay, because I was... But then why did he get the...
Yeah,
the tattoo guy?
I don't understand that at all, because why didn't he wash it off then before his parole year?
Yeah.
He didn't notice it.
He didn't know it was on there.
Yeah, but
he was like, looking in the mirror, obviously.
Yeah, but like, come on. Like, I think they even, and this is me talking completely out of turn and anecdotally because I've never been to prison, I believe they give you a shower before parole hearings.
Yeah, and
I can't believe the guard didn't even be like, "Oh, that's bold statement," or something like that. You know, just
something.
But you know, but Will Arnett was the kind of idiot to be like, "Well, thank you. These are my new shoes," or whatever. You know.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a total idiot, and he's lovable? Is he lovable?
No.
In this movie, no.
He's not even likable.
He's not even likable. He doesn't have any friends.
His scenes with Chai are good, though. Like, they have a good relationship.
I agree with that. And I did like his delivery of the Fresca line at the beginning of the movie.
Over the phone?
Yeah, where he's just like, I want a Fresca. And then he named, like, a whole bunch of sodas he didn't want.
Yeah.
And he was like, Fresca! And then Bob Odenkirk, you know, is about to give him a drink of Fresca at the prison, but then he can't, and then he drinks it in front of him. I mean, that was slightly humorous and paid off a little bit.
Yeah, I guess when he was drinking Fresca, like looking at him.
I mean, because obviously he just Fresca's something he was in his former life willing to yell at people over. So, I mean, it's kind of funny that he can't even have one now, I guess. Why? I mean, this guy maybe didn't deserve prison, but it's not like we're sitting here going, oh man, it's not like he's Andy Dufresne where we're like, oh man, he's wrongfully convicted and this is bad.
We came out of the closet going to prison. He finally accepted who he was.
Dude, I don't know if he came out of the closet. I think what happened, dude, Chi McBride, like that, like I said, if I got in that room and I thought I was about to get plowed and then I got Eskimo kissed and he's just like, you know, hey, this is just the beginning and whatever, you know, I'd be like, well, that was really nice.
Didn't you put him in a chokehold in the bathroom?
Yeah, he also threatened to shank him, like if he
cut his balls off and put him in a shoebox.
Shoebox for saying that his butt didn't look fat.
I like that he took the angle of, you know, would you do this to someone you love? Because like it reminded me of like in Bill and Ted, you know, like when they're about to get killed by the evil robot thems, and they're like, "We love you." Like instead of anything else, they choose empathy, you know. And
Jacob, did you cry during this movie?
No,
no,
I did not cry during this movie.
Holy shit, no. That's a one star.
I only cried because of how much money Jeff spent on it.
How about the kid cussing? That was funny, huh?
Okay, yeah, that you
kids
know,
cussing are always funny, right, guys?
Yeah, I don't even remember what you're talking about.
He wrote the letters, and he's like, "I got peed on," even though the letter the kid's reading is not covered in pee. Nor would the parent give the letter to the child
covered in pee.
Where was this? Yeah.
And the kid. You might have not seen the unrated version. Maybe we saw the unrated version. He's a pen pals with the kid.
No, it was in the one we saw. It's the one you got on your
video. Oh, the pen pal with the kid, and the kid reads the. That was a funny joke. I kind of like that, but I didn't laugh. But like when the nun came back in and she's like, "I'm sorry, I missed your letter." I thought that was kind of funny.
I brought it up to make fun of it, but that's. I'm not going to judge what you thought was funny in this movie.
just kind of funny.
Yeah,
because you have to try to find the humor.
I'm just over kids cussing. Like kids cussing is not inherently funny, in my opinion.
Of course, not.
A lot of people think it is.
It is in real life. My daughter, who is one, called me a bitch the other day, and I could not stop.
That's funny. Like, within context, that's funny.
It was out of nowhere.
In the '80s, like every 80s movie, the kids would say shit, like a whole bunch. Like that was a big deal. And like Goonies, Stand By Me, like all these kid movies.
Don't be chicken shit.
Yeah, just all that stuff. And it just kind of, everything starts out being like, oh, and you know, it's just, when you're using old tropes a decade after, you know, they're you know, popular, dude, I don't know, man.
I'm gonna have an unpopular opinion. I don't even like the kids in Talladega Nights.
I hate the kids in Talladega Nights.
That little redheaded kid, dude.
I'm not a big fan of Talladega Nights.
Oh, I love that movie, but I just don't like the kids.
I'm all jacked up on Mountain Dew. That line is super.
You know how many people I heard say, and I'm wearing my pee pants because they're not funny, but they heard a funny thing and they want to be funny, so they just say a bunch of fucking. It's the new Borat thing. You know what I mean?
Dude, I'm sorry. Out of nowhere, I say I'm still sitting in my dirty pee pants if I don't want to do something.
Point proven.
I'm sorry. I don't mind those kids at all. I don't mind funny kids. Like, that's fine. You want to have some kids. There was a kid in...
The kid from Role Anchorman, Models was the shit.
Anchorman 2? That kid? The kid that plays his kid? And I don't know if I'm talking about... I don't know which cut I'm talking about, but I think it's the other cut, not the theatrical cut. But there's this whole thing about this kid, like him telling this kid that life is hard and you're just going to have to drink hot, frothy horse piss. And this kid just keeps crying and saying, "I don't want to drink hot, frothy horse piss." And it's pretty fucking funny.
Yeah.
You know, Ron Burgundy, he's like, "You'll drink it. You'll drink. You'll put that horse's cock in your mouth and you'll drink it."
Does he say that?
I don't know.
I bet he doesn't say that.
Just say, wow, that's really suggestive.
That's the Jacob cut. Yeah, like I said, the kid in Role Models is funny. Like, it's
Are you talking about Rodney?
I don't know. I don't know what his name is.
There's Rodney, and then I can't. Augie,
the little black kid.
Augie's cool.
Yeah, yes. Rodney. Yeah,
Rodney.
Yeah,
Rodney from Role Models, cool.
When he keeps telling what's his name from Ant-Man?
Paul Rudd.
Yeah, he keeps calling him Ben Affleck.
Yeah,
and he's like, I'm not Ben Affleck. And he's like, are you white? He's like, yep. Then you've Ben Affleck.
Yeah.
Yeah. Reindeer Games. That kid's funny.
That kid was written well. Like, I just like some of the times the kid, like the especially, I mean, this one particularly, but a lot of them, the kids just lean on being filthy, and like that's a trope that's just dead. We should retire it. It's 2021. Fuck isn't shocking anymore. Like, so we should retire. Unless you write a really good kid cussing, retire it. It's not
Kirk fun. Cameron, you can put a kid cussing in your movies, but nobody else.
I would watch that. I would watch that. He just says crap.
Yeah.
He might show that kid going to hell later in that movie, but
I stand by it. I will watch that.
Kirk Cameron, make a movie about a kid that goes to hell right after. Like, he gets this is how this movie goes. This kid he goes to church with his friend. He gets saved. Right after he gets saved, some kind of interaction happens where they're like, no, you can't swear or anything. You can't sin, or you have to ask for forgiveness. If you don't ask for forgiveness, you go to hell if you die. And so, like, he, you know, like, stubs his toe the next day and says, fuck. And then his house burns down or something. And then he goes to hell.
I think there may be an episode of Immoral World that's pretty close to that. So,
yeah, that out. Good. I'm glad that story has been told. Then
I want it to be like the first 30 seconds of the movie. Kid's walking down the street. He's gonna get hit by a car. He goes shit, and he gets hit by the car. And then it's fucking an hour and 30 minutes of the kid in hell.
That sounds good. Is it like
what are you in for?
Journey.
What are you in for?
Just kids in hell, like he goes to kid hell.
Yeah.
And then the kids cussing would be funny.
It's a ball pit, but they're charcoal.
It's a Chuck E. Cheese.
Yeah.
But a hell version of it.
Yeah. All the Halloween candy has razor blades in it. Did you guys hear that shit when we were kids? They put needles in the Halloween candy.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, needles.
Don't take
razor
the stickers,
blades.
It's acid.
There was gonna waste their acid. There was one guy that did do that, and that started that whole thing. He poisoned some like his family's Halloween candy and to kill his family, and tried to pass it off as something they got while they were trick or treating.
It was Manson.
I don't know why this reminds me of that, but did you guys hear about the Balloon Festival guys from Oklahoma? That were secretly castrating dudes.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I had to cover that story.
You had to cover that story? That's awesome.
Did you interview the guy?
Recently?
No, but
he was like, I just don't like balls, man. What?
I interviewed the sheriff, and that was a fun interview.
He has a funny name. It's like Sheriff Sugar Hill or something weird.
Oh, yeah, he does have a funny name. But, yeah, it was just kind of weird because I was like, okay, well, so I asked him what happened, and, you know, he gives me the cop version, and then I'm like, from what I understood, testicles were involved, you know, and he's just like, he kind of looks off to the side, and he's like, yes, there was, and, you know, and then I'm like, have you ever seen anything like this before? And he's like, I have not, and this is my first month as the sheriff of this county, and I have never experienced anything like this, and this is what my first month looks like. And I was just like, oh.
Walking away from the scene, and he had like a paper bag just filled, like, oozing from the bottom. He's like,
you know, the guy sold meatballs at the balloon fair. That was the whole thing, dude. Is that people were eating these balls not knowing.
It was a gay.
When did this happen?
Just a couple months ago, there was this gay couple that near LaFleur, Oklahoma, in a cabin would invite men who wanted to be castrated I don't know if it was a sexual thing or if it was just one.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and
they were singers.
And they would take them there, cut their balls off for, you know, they get paid for it by these people. These people give them thousands of dollars. They do a crude surgery that's not, you know, professional.
Fuck yeah.
And cut these people's balls off and send them on their way and then eat the balls or, as Juice said, possibly sell the balls at. And they if you look at these dudes.
Chili. It was chili. That's what it was.
Insane. It was insane. The face ball it's always chili. For real.
It's always chili.
These dudes' Facebooks, like, there was this one picture where this dude's holding a sandwich with a meat you've never seen before. You're just like, what is that? And I don't remember what he said it was, but it was probably balls.
How? No. Well, this is
with a meat.
Look the story up. I really do want to know the details
because I'm.
It's nasty.
I'm not saying I don't believe you because you covered the story. How did they find so many people who were down to get their balls cut off?
Thank you.
So that's as to always have just like sandwiches, dude, and the chili cook-offs.
They were on message boards. There is a community of people, of men that want to have that. Like, that's a thing. It's either like a thing they feel like they have to have done. A lot of them regret it. The guy that told on them. The reason this all got blown out was because they didn't do a good job on a guy. He showed up at a hospital in Muskogee, and they were like, "Who did this to you?" And he told on them, they showed up at the hospital actually to check on him because they knew.
Yeah, they're really nice guys.
And they were like, "Dude, are you okay?" And then the cops are like, "You got to come with me, guys.
You can't be eating balls."
Yeah, you can't. And so, the cop too. I was just like, "So, you got to go through all their stuff. What'd you find?" And there's a list online of what they found, and it's gross, man. It's just gross.
There's all these people panicking because, like you said, they took them to Muskogee. That's my hometown. So a lot of people were like, "Did you go to the balloon festival? Did you go to? Did you eat that? Did you eat it?"
And so I've also covered the balloon festival, and I did not eat the chili.
Was it chili or was it meatballs? Like, that's my question.
I'm not sure. I have not heard this part of the story.
Meatballs would be funnier.
So I'm reading the story.
Anyway, so let's go to prison.
That goes to the shoebox.
Somebody did. Somebody did in that story.
Yeah, somebody did go to prison. That's right.
They're pretty happy.
Now over to Andrew in our fact-checking corner.
So...
What do you got, Andrew?
It looks like he's found the story.
Is his jaw agape yet?
Okay, so
Jacob might have undersold this.
Not surprisingly, and I'm not saying this part isn't true, there's no mention of chili and or meatballs in this
story. No, as I said, Juice, I haven't heard that.
This is the Washington Post. He was a cannibal. He was on message boards. A website promising castrations.
I promise.
Two men face charges, so they must be a gay couple.
Yeah, it's both of them.
They just gotta, you know what I mean? And then the guy allegedly had body parts in the fridge, but they have, as of the writing of this, there was no body parts in the fridge.
See, the thing about the news
apparently when he was like setting him up for the surgery, he's like, "I'm a cannibal."
Yeah. See, and the reason I know they're a gay couple is because the day I went to LaFleur and I'm trying to find the house, is I looked at their Facebooks. And,
it's the only pink house on the block.
They are a couple, you know, they were openly a couple, and they were openly pretty much, if you knew they were eating people and you looked at their Facebook, you'd be like, why are they? It's like Marilyn Manson. It's like, you know, we saw this crazy stuff he was doing, and we're like, oh man, that guy's just kind of a nut. And then we hear stories about what he was actually
doing. Hold on, kind of a nut. Fuck.
And then we hear stories about what he's actually doing, and we're like, oh, well, we were looking at it the whole time. That's how these guys' Facebook profiles are. Seriously, their names are on the internet. If you look up their Facebook profile, it's crazy.
Bob Lee Allen and Thomas Evans Gates.
yep, yep. Anyway,
Gates and Hell's Flames, huh? You guys hear what I did there?
I've seen weird stories about shit like that. People that have weird amputee fetishes and stuff that will want their shit cut off. And I've also seen like a couple like murder investigations that involved two people meeting online in chat rooms and shit because they had a fantasy of being killed and eaten by somebody else and shit like that. So, yeah.
I found a fucking picture of this guy. Hold on.
Pulling it up.
Yeah, those of you listening, watch the fucking Twitch. Share.
Or on Does YouTube look like Tiger at some point.
Share. You guys are going to see this. Look at this. Oh, okay,
here we go.
Hey, baby.
Yeah.
You don't like him, I'll take him.
Is that him? Is this like an old picture of him? Yeah.
That's them. Like that's their. I was at the place those pictures were taken the day they were arrested.
Hey, man. They wouldn't like you, Jacob. Too much work for just one nut.
yeah, man. They're like, oh man.
God damn it, man.
I was really hungry. That's just an appetizer.
I used my anesthesia for this, man.
Dude, it's crazy, man. Like when I witness things like this, or because I mean, like, I get calls like this. I'm like, hey, go to LaFleur, Oklahoma. Apparently, somebody's been it's something to do with cannibals and penises or something. That's the call I get, and I'm like, okay, LaFleur, Oklahoma, I'm going. Penises, got it.
Yeah.
And so I go there, and you know, you interview the sheriff and stuff, and get more of the story. And I don't know, man. It's just like I have
What kind of scenario are you concocting in your head as you drive to this place off of that information?
Oh, I know, right?
Knowing how you put movies together that don't make sense. Like, what? Are you severely disappointed when you get there and find out what it actually happened? You're like, oh, that's not at all what I was hoping was going on.
I can't lie. That has happened. Yes. but the other thing I was just going to say is I have a very boring life. And I find out that I have a very boring life when I find out that there's all kinds of people out there on message boards getting their nuts cut off. And that's like a whole life. That's a whole life people live. I'm going to go do it. I'm finally going to do it. And then they go do it and they come back and they're like, I did it.
Yeah. But aside from the nut thing, I bet they live terrible, boring lives too. I bet they're like a bunch of those like hoarders and like fucking sitting at home all day looking for somebody to cut your nuts off. And then somebody finally cuts your nuts off. And what are you going to do with your life now? Like you did it. You made it.
Sing. You peaked.
What's next?
That's so weird. Because it was funny. I saw a bunch of people popping up about the whole balloon festival thing. But then my wife came home from work. She was like, did you hear about what happened? And she said that thing too. But I can't find any mention of that anywhere now. That is really weird because I checked like four different articles, but it was a literal video floating around of these two dudes at a balloon festival that I can't find.
A balloon festival?
Yes.
Well, there's a Poto balloon festival that they have every year.
There's one like in Muskogee too.
Oh, okay. And yeah, man, it's just
a bunch of balloons, or is it like air? Hot air balloons.
Hot air balloons. Okay.
Yeah, it's hot air balloons.
It's like
fucking
just people walking around.
If they were selling, if they were literally selling people chili, if they were selling people chili, I mean, geez, there's a.
You would
there's
feel like
a
that
would have
been
of,
national news, though. But yeah, even, so, even yeah, without that, that story, yeah. even
I
without that
I
would have
heard about it. I think I would have heard.
You would have covered it.
But even without that's what I'm saying. But even without the cannibal stuff, or without the hot air balloon stuff, why wasn't that story national news? Because that's just a crazy story.
Because it's Oklahoma.
Man, well, and there's been so much.
People go, that sounds about right.
It was fucking Tuesday for Oklahoma.
I'm pretty
Florida's
sure.
Florida's way crazier than Oklahoma.
And a lot of the time, I bet you the follow-up details on it are pretty interesting. It's just like, because so many more things have happened, we just don't go back to old stories ever.
I'm going to look up a podcast for this.
I know.
There might be one.
Serial covered it.
If there's not, you should do it, Juice.
Oh, man, I want to deep dive now. Because
it feels like a Twilight Zone situation.
Because, like, how did I see all these videos that don't now exist? How did I read about this that it's not there anymore? Makes you feel a little nuts.
Shadow banned.
Makes you feel nuts.
Fuck yeah, dude. Thanks for doing it again. I appreciate that. Thank you.
See, let's go to prison. That joke was funnier than "you look like you have to take a crap."
Yeah.
Let's write a sequel to this movie about these two guys.
Let's get our nuts cut off. I like it.
I wonder if they've got the same kind of thing going on in prison. They're like, yeah, I'll do it. I'll cut your nuts off with a shiv.
$50.
They're like, man, business ain't so good once we came to prison, man.
Nobody wants their nuts cut off.
Yeah. What am I supposed to do?
Everybody wants a blowjob.
Did inmates ever come to your school and tell you what it was like to be in prison? Was that a thing?
No, but I've watched a lot of snake oil salesmen
who said they went to prison and then told us a bunch of fairy tales about ladies putting their babies in microwaves and...
Yeah. Oh, scared straight stuff.
Was it Tony Alamo? Was that one of the guys?
No, that's the preacher guy.
Okay. Oh yeah, yeah. There was some guy that had a name similar to that come through telling us how drugs were bad and jail was bad.
I'll never forget. I was 12 years old, and they literally had I remember the prison bus rolling up. And they had these inmates come in, and they still had them, like, locked up. And they were telling us how to make, you know, lock in a sock if we ever were in it. Like, they were telling us how to make weapons.
They were giving you the deets.
They were Tyrone Biggums.
They took a toothbrush, and you scrub it on the concrete to sharpen both sides, and that's how you make a shiv with your toothbrush.
Like the teacher's trying to grab their arm to pull them out. They're like, "Here's how you make hooch."
Drugs and alcohol.
You gotta go see a guy named Martinez.
Can get you high.
they sent a guy. I just remember they sent a guy who was there was an alcoholic and a cocaine addict in my high school health class, and the alcoholic just like this long story about him. Every time he'd buy a 12 pack and then he'd go do something stupid and then he'd get arrested. Then he'd buy another 12 pack. It was always a 12 pack. And then the cocaine guy was like, honestly, he's like, you guys all seem like nice people. I would not hesitate to steal from you right now for cocaine.
Wow.
Like, God damn. All right. Cool, man.
It's that good.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you should try it.
You know, I've honestly, I've never done it because I from what I hear about it, I think I would like it. And I'm just like, I heard it's expensive. So I'm just like, I don't need to try anything that I would like that much and that is expensive.
Yeah, there's always that threat of danger and then it's cut with the wrong stuff. And it's like, I don't want to risk that.
Juice and I were one of the more recent times I've even seen it. Juice and I were playing music with a certain person, and that person, I thought that person was a pretty wholesome dude because, you know, he loved Jesus and, you know, he's a veteran and, you know, all this stuff. And, you know, and we're backstage and we're about to go on stage. He pulls out a baggie. He says, "Hey, you want some?" And I'm like, what the fuck is that, man?
He offered it, man.
He did. I was like, well, I appreciate the offer. And dude, hey, he's like, I only do it when I play, but man, it's so great. And I was just like, whoa.
I heard that from a lot of musicians. And I remember playing a punk show. They would put them on, they'd put it rails on the sinks. Like you could not go to the bathroom unless you were doing cocaine at these shows. And it was like, I got to hold it or I'll go to the woods. Cause the pressure that these people will put on you to try this drug because they think it's the best drug in the world. Mm-hmm. And it's like, they go up there and then they play like magicians and you get it. But
yeah, because he played great that night. I was like, all right, you know, that worked.
He was playing now, time signatures you didn't even know existed.
But that's what the main thing I told him, though, is I was like, hey, I drove us here, and you didn't tell me.
They get desensitized, dog. They didn't even know what. I didn't tell you what.
I'm just like, bro, if you're going to have something like that in my van, please make me aware of it.
Especially since it's a van.
So I can throw you directly under the bus.
It's actually better that you don't know. It's actually better that you don't know, though.
That's true.
Yeah, you'll be way cooler when you talk to the cops.
Yeah. Well, that and then it's the deniability. You're not...
Yeah,
like you literally didn't know. You're not lying.
What? Yeah, it's on another person. Eyeballs can pop up. Yeah. Anyway,
that guy ended up going to jail too. See, you make bad decisions over and over again. You're gonna end up like Will Arnett. If you're mean to people,
if you trash a pharmacy,
if you storm the Capitol,
yep. They got my buddy's cousin. They finally got him.
Dude, that's so funny.
One of the funniest police reports I've ever read in my life of this guy just constantly telling on himself. He's on a YouTube. Great?
That's the best.
He's on a YouTube live with his name. I'm not going to say his name, but it's a Zoom meeting, so his name's in the corner of the screen. He's on the top right, and he's sharing his screen, and he's going, "Yep, that's me in the U.S. Capitol on January 6th." Like, literally, like, that's me smoking weed in the Capitol. That's me doing this in the Capitol. It's all in the police report, completely quoted the whole time. Anyway,
it's amazing.
Thank you for listening to Let's Go to Prison. Ben, would you recommend this movie?
I don't know. Maybe.
Who'd you recommend it to?
Somebody who's like, what was like Bob Odenkirk's early directorial work like?
Specific.
Yeah.
Dusty, would you recommend this movie?
Probably not, because it won't even be in my mind after hours from now. So
yeah, Jacob,
it won't even be there for me to recommend.
I'm with Dusty in that I won't ever watch this again, probably, and I probably won't remember most of it ever again. But I think a decent movie could have been made. It's a shame that the script wasn't good enough, because there's a good crew here who do good work.
Yeah.
And I would not really recommend it to anybody, though, because it's lame.
Juice, would you recommend this movie?
It's the worst Universal movie I've ever seen. So
God damn. I don't see
Jaws the Revenge.
I would not recommend this movie. Has anybody written a good Dax Shepard movie? Because I like Dax Shepard. Is there a good Dax Shepard?
Idiocracy.
I forgot he's in Idiocracy. Yeah, okay. Yeah. But
Without a Paddle is decent, I still say.
It's fine. But it's better. I thought it was better than this, which is crazy.
Definitely better.
He was great and Punked.
Yeah, he was. He really was. But yeah, I wouldn't recommend this movie. Sorry, Jeff. Thank you for your money. And for being such a great listener and a great friend to all of us.
I think that's what Jeff wanted this to, you know, the Without a Paddle and this, you know, he wanted two movies Dax Shepard did, you know, one that's tolerable and one that's just absolute whatever. But
well, Juice is next. Juice, you know what you're picking?
I do. It's actually funny that you've mentioned the Wayans brothers, because I'm taking us back to, for Black History Month, and my favorite spoof on blaxploitation movies, I'm Gonna Get You, Sucker.
Okay, yeah. I'm excited because I haven't seen this movie, and I love that genre and that era of movies, so I'm excited.
You're gonna love it. I can feel it.
Okay, I'm on board.
I'm so excited. This is one of my favorite movies of all time. I quote this movie all the time. Yes, I think Dusty's on board with me too, Dusty.
Kung Fu Joe,
master of karate.
Yeah, young Chris Rock.
And all kinds of other shit y'all ain't never heard of.
My no, bunions.
We got I'm Gonna Get You Sucker next week. Dusty, you can reveal your next, and Dusty's after that, you can reveal next week. Do you guys want to do Cage Month after that?
Ooh. I don't know. I'm pretty excited about my next pick.
That's okay. We'll talk.
I'm pretty excited. We'll talk. Yeah.
We'll talk.
I got an itch. I got a big itch.
So the second Rad episode coming in a month.
Mouse Hunt.
Don't you tempt me, because I'm excited about this other thing, but I would love to do that because I'm obsessed with that movie and I would like you to see it. And I don't think you've seen it.
No, I have not seen it. But anyway,
I want you to catch the buzz.
I'll watch it. If we do an episode on it, I'll watch it. But we already did an episode on it. We did a second Kirk Cameron episode. If we're going to revisit some shit, I want to revisit some Brain and some The Room and that trash.
Well, that's what you'll pick if you want.
If you want to re-pick Rad, I'm down to do it, man.
Well, we'll see. But I'm excited about it. I'm Gonna Get You, Sucker. That's like getting a pick without having used my turn.
Yeah,
That's exciting.
Yeah, I'm on board.
Yeah, it's on Prime, just so everybody already knows.
Hell yeah!
I got the DVD.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for being here, Jeff. All about the squish. You were here for a second and talking a lot. Sorry about that. You're not here anymore. Johnny was here. I saw you. Thank you. I love you. Thank you to all of our patrons. Follow us on Patreon. We're going to, I think tonight's going to be kind of a freestyle episode. And then next week we got something cooking. We'll let you know. Follow us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, all that horse shit. And we love you very much. Bye-bye.